This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Thanks to our guest today, Steve Conroy, talking Blackhawk hockey. Jesse Rogers out in Arizona. Thank you to Danny Zetterman and Chris Bleck. And we take you to Arizona. Crosstalk on hold because Rick Hahn, the general manager, is meeting the media in Glendale. Here we go.
I believe the left. It's better than 50-50. It's the left, but I can't promise you it's the left. You saw him out there today, in fact, catching the sidelines if you were watching. But he is going to be a little slower. Lucas Giolito, as you know, missed Soxfest due to the flu. It was a fairly bad case, got him fairly dehydrated and set behind his program a little bit as well. When he ramped back up, he felt some soreness in his rib cage area. He was examined and found to have a very mild, we'll call it a chest muscle strain in the rib cage area. If you saw today, he was out there throwing. He's just a little bit behind everybody else, and he too likely won't participate in games the first week of the Cactus League. But again, we expect to have him fully able by opening day. Lastly, Gio Gonzalez, when he was at home about two and a half weeks ago and doing his throwing program, felt a little discomfort in his shoulder, so we slowed him down, got him treated up. He showed up here feeling great, but again, due to the missed time, he's a little bit behind as well. Likely also won't participate in the first week of spring games, but we, again, anticipate him being ready to go when the bell rings come the end of March. So, that's what I've got. What do you guys got?
Rick, just to clarify, what did you say on Gio?
Giolito? Yeah, Gio Gonzalez. He had a left shoulder soreness. But, again, viewed as minor startup soreness. He was treated. Feels great. And is just a little bit behind everybody else.
What's it like, given the news you just said aside, what is it like to look around camp and see a lot of these names that have come in and are now part of the team?
It's fun. There's a very positive vibe going on around this camp. And it's, I think, for a couple of reasons. First, obviously, the excitement about the upcoming season, which comes with the additions and comes with the growth of the young core. But second, because you can also sort of see how this thing looks like it may come together over the next several years. It's not just a one-year jump or something that, regardless of how well this year goes, that, you know, is going to be out of grasp for us in the near future. In other words, when we started this whole process, it was about putting ourselves in a position for annual contention. And there certainly is enthusiasm in that coach's room and in that clubhouse that period of contention could conceivably begin this season. But as you look around this camp and you see the guys that are not only here in terms of the veterans, but some of the young prospects that are coming behind them, you see that, you know, we've gotten this into a position where certainly brighter days are ahead, and we're probably talking brighter years, not brighter months.
Rick, given what he was able to do last year, the success that he had, is it not surprising that James McCann might have a bit of frustration over the way that the depth chart might be shaking out? And I'm sure that's expected, but yeah, you guys still expect him to play as pretty significant.
We do. We expect, you know, certainly don't want to have more news like the one I led off with in terms of injury or setbacks to any of our players. But, you know, a hallmark of a good team is having quality depth. That's something that we talked about from the start of being one of the goals that we set out to accomplish through this rebuild, and quite frankly is one of the things that I've talked about publicly and perhaps us not being entirely there yet in terms of organizational depth at certain spots. Catcher isn't one of those spots. We've got two all-star caliber catchers, both of whom we anticipate contributing to a good club this summer.
Is it expected that, I mean, have your conversations with him revealed any sort of frustration but willingness to work still?
He's been great in our conversations. He and I spoke, I think, three times this past offseason, once the first time being right after we made the Grandal move. And each time, you know, he fundamentally has reiterated his desire to win and be part of a championship club. From an individual standpoint, I certainly understand guys want to compete. All 26 guys on that team are going to want to try to compete every day. You want guys with that hunger. You don't necessarily want guys who feel like they couldn't handle more. So in terms of the interactions, though, with James, it's been positive from the standpoint of trying to be part of something special.
You watched Kopech throw side today, and I know he feels confident, he feels good, but the whole Tommy John process is it's a process for a reason, right? I mean, but how much closer do you feel like he's getting at this point?
I mean, he's out there today just like anybody else without restrictions. The rehabilitation side of this is over for him. That said, obviously, because he didn't face hitters last year, and it's been over almost a year and a half since he's faced big league hitters, we do have to be, you know, somewhat cautious with how we ramp him up and what we expect from him over the course of the season. So far, all the reports from the off season and the, you know, handful of guys, including Michael, have been here already for the last few days. The early reports are all very positive about where he's at, and we're going to, over the course of this year, we're really going to spend most of the time responding to how he looks, how he feels, how he reports in terms of setting what's next for him. Part of it will be because of the absence of facing hitters last year. It will be a little bit slower of a climb for him than it would be with any other pitcher coming off a full season.
He did such a good job with C's last year, you know, kind of managing his innings through spring training. And will it be somewhat similar with Michael?
With Michael, I would expect that, yes.
Do you anticipate him needing to start the season in the minor leagues?
It's day one. Let's hold off on cutting guys just yet.
How about Carlos Rodon?
Rodon, he was out there throwing today. He continues along his progression. Won't really be until he's completed his rehabilitation that I can give you a firm timeline, but I think internally we're generally looking at him as a mid-season acquisition, so to speak, a real nice trade deadline or all-star break acquisition of a quality lefty.
Kopech was saying that during his rehab process, one of the most valuable things that he gained outside of being back to 100% healthy was his maturity level, that he grew a lot mentally and sort of emotionally as far as his role goes. Do you consider that sort of a blessing in disguise, that he was able to gain that maturity over that period of time before he kind of steps into this new role during this sensitive time frame?
Yeah, it's certainly, if you have your choice, you're not going to choose for a guy to go through that. That said, I think even the day or soon thereafter that we announced that this had happened, we did talk about the timing of this at least being a positive in terms of getting this out of the way if it was something that was going to happen, and having him without restriction heading into the 2020s. But there is, although there's a very clear sort of physical progression on a Tommy John rehab, you know, on day 75 you're supposed to do this, and on day 80 you're supposed to do that. You can't account for what it does to a guy mentally, and the grind and the isolation and being out here in the middle of summer when there aren't other teammates around or everyone around you is similarly hurt. It is a challenge mentally to the guy, and there is a benefit for them in grinding through that and realizing, I don't know, for some guys recapturing some of the hunger, for other guys learning patience, learning that, you know, hard isn't always the way to get something done. And I think Michael has benefited from that. You know, one other thing is that when you start that physical progression, there's a fair amount of touch and feel involved. There's a fair amount of off-speed pitches early before you get to your breaking ball. You know, Michael, as a power guy throughout the bulk of his career, had to go through a prescribed program where, you know, touch and feel and soft and less being more sometimes is preached. So it's good to hear he feels similarly about the mental benefit to it, but I think there's also probably going to be a benefit in terms of his approach and how he gets hitters out.
With Michael not being having any restrictions, do you view him as a depth option if any of these rotations injuries linger, or is Michael's plan?
Mike, we're not going to jeopardize or take chances with any young guy, especially a young guy coming off an injury, based on somebody else's performance or somebody else's health. Michael's going to show all of us, you know, where he's at and when he's ready.
Is there more of a kind of an enjoyment level for you and your staff at this camp? You knew that what was going to happen 3 years ago, when you're starting to rebuild and, you know, all that went with it, but I know you're not there yet, but is it right, more enjoyable walking into this year?
It's different. It's different because, you know, quite frankly, we had a hitter's camp right after the winter of 16-17 when we did the Chris Sale trade. And Moncada was at that Ayers camp, and hearing back from our player development people and some of our big league coaches who were at that about, you know, that sort of wow factor, that scene, you know, before your eyes, what your scouts had seen or what you had seen on videotape come to life. There was a element of excitement with that. You know, the night that, you know, getting to know Eloy over the course of the time when he was in the minors was exciting. When Johan's debut at the big leagues, Kopech's debut in the big leagues, there were instances along the way that were enjoyable, that were on par with sort of, you know, seeing this thing starting to come together, steps along the way. This right now is a little bit different in that you can see the entirety of it coming together. We're not certain how quickly it's all going to click on all cylinders the way we want. You know, candidly, those of us in the front office are probably a little twisted and wired differently and spend most of our time losing sleep over contingencies that hopefully never happen, but what happens if we lose XYZ? And getting to the point as an organization where we have the depth to withstand that is probably the final element of bringing this thing all together, and that's still going to take a little bit of time. So I'm not to the point where, you know, you're walking in here feeling like mission accomplished or something like that.
There's Rick Hahn, the general manager of the White Sox. Just the important nuggets from that. Nothing terrible, but Grandal, I guess, did he say when he was lifting Mellor? Is that what it was?
Yeah, last week, lifting.
A calf strain, I guess, is going to probably force him to miss the first week of Cactus League. And then, you know, Giolito had some sore ribs after he had the flu last month. That set him back a little. And then some shoulder soreness, I guess, for Gio Gonzalez. Keeping all the Gios straight will be interesting on the south side this year. But they don't think that's anything too serious either. They're just, those guys are probably a week or so behind. And then he talked about some of the young guys and Kopech's journey back from Tommy John. Waddle and Sylvie are coming up. They got Barkley. Well, what time is Barkley officially getting over there, boys?
He's supposed to get here a little after 3.
Okay.
And then he's going to relax. At the very latest, he will join us at 4.
Awesome.
So if he's ready to go, like whenever he's ready to go, we're like, Charles, here's the microphone.
He probably will join us sooner rather than later.
It's
I don't think
be
he'll
great.
Wait till 4. My guess is he'll be here earlier than 4. At Carm, I was just listening. There's a little extra giddy up in Rick Hahn's delivery, isn't there? I mean, he sounds.
There should
and
be.
He should, right?
Yes.
No, I know. I'm saying you can hear even, you know, from 2,000 miles away, the excitement in the voice.
I think they believe that this plan is really taking shape.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I know. Like Sylvie always says, the ascension is the fun part. You know,
this
like,
is the best part.
You got to enjoy this now, right?
Well, would you say, obviously, winning the World Series in 2016 was the greatest feeling of all for Cub fans, but the exceeding expectations in 15 probably was just exhilarating.
Let me quote the great Miley Cyrus. It's the climb.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in 15 and 16, was a lot more fun than 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Wasn't it?
What song is that from? It was the same one
that?
Where she says, is it okay if don't wear pants in this
don't
restaurant?
Don't worry about
is
it, Abdallah.
Is that Wrecking Ball? Oh, I just don't. I don't know that Miley Cyrus lyric.
No, you don't? It's the climb. Yeah, absolutely.
If you're,
you said climb, right?
It's the climb to the greatness. It's like I always said it about the Bulls, that 91 was awesome. 90-91 as a Bulls fan. But when you were there, after Scotty and Horace were drafted, even though they still weren't on top, going through the Pistons made it sweeter when they eventually got through it. And I don't know if the Sox are going to reach the greatness this year, but this is when they're the most likable. We found that out with the Bears. Last year when the Bears surprised us and they were 12-4 and it was all great, and then when expectations hit, was it as fun this year?
No.
Enjoy it when they're young and they're the most likable.
Right.
Would you warn White Sox fans, Carm, to have, you know, like last year we had, or in 18 we had very few expectations for the Bears, and maybe that's why it was so exciting. But for the White Sox, I think expectation levels have risen.
They have, and I don't think if they fail to win 90 games, that's somehow a disappointment. I don't think.
No, I'm
you
with
know,
you.
Like this should be the next step in this journey.
Yeah.
When they're young and fun, that is the best time to be a fan. It's like the same thing with the Hawks. 09, you know, ended, I think they got swept, if I'm not mistaken, by Detroit, or they lost maybe in 5 games. I can't remember. But that year was fun. When they beat Vancouver, when Patrick Kane had a hat trick in 09, and they beat Vancouver in the conference semifinals, and I was in the building for that game. It was phenomenal. Sylvie and I were in the building for one of those games against Detroit in the Western Conference Finals, and that's when Detroit was great.
Yes.
And even though they lost that year,
right.
We look back on that, and you remember, like, that's when it all started. You
that's
fell in love
point.
With those players, and the climb, like, the journey to the top is the fun part for the fans.
I was very upset they got rid of Marty Havlat, though, after that year.
Marty!
Marty!
Remember that? I fell in love with Marty Havlat. He scored, like, right away into overtime in one of those games, didn't he?
He did in the Calgary, I think, in that first series,
Yeah, yeah.
He ended a game very early in overtime that they won.
Now, Carm, they can't find the net with a
road don't map. Even. We're out of time, and we can't talk about it.
How many shots did they have in the third period, like 90?
Yes. We'll talk to more tomorrow. The Vancouver game tonight. We'll talk more about the
I'm
Hawks.
I'm 0-4 watching hockey.
See, stop watching, Tommy, for crying out loud. All right, so Barkley will join the guys sometime, probably around 3:30 or so. It's going to be awesome. They're live at Chicago Cut. Boys, have a great show, and we'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the day, okay?
Yeah, a lot of great stuff coming up next, Carm. All
right.
Be with us.
Waddle and Sylvie will get you home next. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie, live from Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River, in downtown Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Down, down, down. Down, down, down. Down, down, down. Down.
We're live at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Charles Barkley will be joining us in a little over an hour from right now.
He's getting a sauna in right now?
That's a good question. I would picture Charles Barkley to be a sauna guy.
Yeah.
Dry or wet?
Oh, which do you prefer? I'm not much of a sauna guy.
Neither am I. I mean, just a little bit when my back was bad last year. Then I quickly became not a sauna guy because there's too many guys in there making weird noises.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm more of a hot tub guy.
Ooh.
Then I am sauna guy.
It better be your hot tub.
Yeah, yeah. I don't go communal hot tub. I mean, I'm just like I get in the tub and if like the new house or the house. Well, it's 4 years old, but I don't have the jets. So I got to fart in there to make the water spin around.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Keeping it classy at Chicago.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know right away.
I don't think David would like it any other way. David, every time I come in here, he and Matt say, "Hey, be yourself."
Right. Right.
Yourself.
So the entire Chicago Cut restaurant has been shut down for this event. That's how big of an event this is. And it's all presented by our fine friends. How about this? At home and on the road. First Midwest Bank.
Nice.
We use the studio, and they travel with us to Chicago Cut. Those are partners you love.
Yes.
Home and on the road. So I want to thank First Midwest Bank for presenting this great event. Of course, Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom, Matty Moore, rolling out the red carpet for all of our listeners like they're the VIPs. And, of course, Chuck is going to be the VIP here today. Your birthday, his birthday, coming up shortly. Michael Wilbon will be with us as well. And, of course, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers.
It's a good crew.
So, yeah. So, right now, we've got the entire crew at Chicago Cut Steakhouse setting this thing up.
And we have all the vultures from our radio station.
All the
sales guys.
They're here early, yeah.
Yeah, trying to find out when they can get a quick drink.
They like to say,
we
have to just shake hands. Yeah. And
site survey.
Yeah, sure.
Site survey.
That's what they say.
Yeah, Morin's got drool coming down his chin.
But we just heard from Rick Hahn. The Cubs reported yesterday. It sounds like the injuries that they're dealing with, the White Sox, are minor. Grandal, whether it was a weightlifting injury, the calf, and Giolito from the flu, all should be good there. The drama is on the other side of town where the drama continues to be very apparent, whether it's yesterday's topic with Joe Maddon and Theo Epstein. And the first day of David Ross's, hey, this is David Ross's team. Yesterday was the first day. It was sort of like Joe's like, okay, well, I got something for you on your doorstep.
Kaboom.
You know, here it is.
Kaboom.
Yeah, he lit it on fire. Yeah. It was a big bag, and he lit it on fire. And Joe's like,
you want
it to be so easy, David? Here you go. I got something for you. Coffee with Maddon.
You know, knowing his affinity and his ability to arrange a petting zoo, I'm sure he has quite an easy way of finding a good bit of manure to put into a sack to light on fire and put on your front
step. Sure, you're right. He probably had the farm animals.
Yeah, he had llama poop in there and just lit it and said, there you go, David Ross.
Oh, remember my old team? Here you go, David Ross. It's your first day today? Well, I'm going to leave this quote out there. They didn't break up with me.
No, I broke up with them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But the antithesis of all of that, or the 180-degree turn from that, is just the sound of happiness that you heard in Rick Hahn's voice. I mean, that's the first thing I thought was, yeah, he's going through a couple of minor injuries that he's discussing with everybody that's covering the team right now. But didn't he not sound like a happy guy?
You should be. Happy,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
He's done good work.
He has done a fantastic job, and expectations are heading north. So, but you could hear the joy in his voice.
A lot. Well, he talked about Kopech and the schedule coming back. Tommy John. Now there's really no schedule. I mean, a lot will depend on that. What Dallas Keuchel are they getting? What will Kopech look like? Is Giolito really this good as he was last year? So there are questions with every major league team.
Oh, yeah.
And until we get answers, but they're going to be really good.
And even if they're not, you know, if Rob Manfred can steamroll this new plan in place with seven wildcard teams in each league, they're sure, even if they get like 75 wins, they'll be participating.
Are you still hot about
in the
that?
Postseason. It's just silly to me, but I segued to hockey quickly last night. Like, I was on my couch. A full plate of candy. I don't know. There's still candy left from the Super Bowl party, and I'm trying to get it out of there. And my
it's
wife's like, no, the kids
ago.
Are there. Yeah, but Skittles last through a nuclear
That's
war.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's only 10 days.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, those things, you can eat
those
forever.
You should enjoy that candy for a while.
But it's you know where it goes at this point. It goes right to your sides. Anyway, so you're
gotta
I'm watching.
Watch your figure.
I am watching my figure. But watching hockey has become America's pastime in my house, and it's become very frustrating because since I've really been laser focused on what the Blackhawks have at hand, they're 0-2-2, and my wife is sitting next to me screaming, "Stop dumping it and chasing it!" And I'm like, "What the hell
really?
Is a dump and chase?"
You know what a dump and chase is.
Well, but she played hockey growing up, so she kind of understands what's going on.
It's when, like, a Colorado jogger goes in
That's
the middle
true.
Of a park.
There
and
you
the
go. We had
chase
a lot
them.
Of start. Get all the poop
That's
talk
the
out now before.
That's the
bottles
and chase.
After before, you had a burger before the show started.
But I'm telling you, I mean, she's watching. She's educating me. I'm frustrated because they can't get the nut, the net or the nut in the net.
No wonder we found out they can't win a game these days.
Because they're squirrels.
Yeah, they're not using the puck. They're trying to get something else in the net.
Can't get the puck in the net. But I'm taking personal responsibility for what's gone south the last four games.
Well, and now you're going to go in the other side of this. If they lose tonight in Vancouver, Cap was talking about this. We talked about this with Carmen and Yurko a day or two ago. Like, where do you go if you're Stan Bowman at the trade deadline on the 24th if you continue to lose these games to the Western Conference foes that you're battling with for the playoffs and you're further and further out? I mean, you're in sell mode. Then who do you sell?
Yeah, that's
and
a really good
question. Who are the untouchable
guys? Well, you're
guys?
Probably selling one of your goalies, aren't you? Because you're not going to re-sign both. And
right.
Crawford is probably the odd guy out because of his age, right? I mean,
well, you could sign either guy because they're going to be free agents. You could call up a guy and play. You probably wouldn't. But, like, say you did like
First guy
Leonard.
To take the offer?
Well, say you did like Leonard.
And
I mean,
he's younger.
Can't you sign Leonard in the offseason and trade him now? We've talked about this with guys with the Bulls and guys with the Cubs. We talked about this a lot, that you could trade a guy and then bring him back.
Yeah, I think you'd have to have a good feel for how that individual felt about it. I mean, some guys, if you trade them, you see how people respond to even their names being involved in trade conversations. I think that's an individual relationship thing. But, yeah, it's absolutely something that they could do. But it's been weird to watch, too. I mean, I know that they switched up their power play, and the guys that were on the ice, they must have outshot the Oilers in the third period 3-1, and they just could not find that.
And every time they would have something positive happen, they would get out that. They, you know, it started off poorly, but then they got it back, and then they would take the lead, and right away they'd give it right back.
Yeah.
The give it right back stuff kills me. Whether I'm watching my Cubs and the relief pitcher comes in after you score a couple in the bottom of the inning, the next top of the inning, they're giving it back. The Hawks were doing the same thing yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was not Leonard's greatest outing, was it? I mean, he was not on his game. But listen, it's you know what cutting time at this point. Are you going to be a Stan Pat team? Or are you going to be a buyer? I read an article where some of the guys are, as any player would do, would be encouraging adding people to give you a little extra boost. Or are you finally, after now a third year of what hopefully isn't the case, but looks like they may be headed for a third straight year without getting to the postseason, do you finally make some fairly sweeping changes?
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting to watch. I know we have Pat Boyle on tomorrow's yep. show. Today's show is all about Charles Barkley. Really, we're opening up the All-Star week now for Chicago. The Stars are coming. It's going to be a real festive week. Parties in town. The Rising Stars game on Friday. The NBA Skills competition with a dunk and three-point on Saturday.
You'll be participating the next couple of days. His First Take, I believe, is in town, and you're going to be the I was going to say a word that would probably get me in trouble, so I'm not going to say that. But you're
going to
be the entertainer in between segments. You're going to get the crowd going. You're going to be...
I'm the off-air MC.
There you go. That's what I was thinking.
Right. It's a Navy Pier in that brand new...
Oh, that's awesome.
...big rooftop.
Yeah.
Area. So...
Do you have jokes ready? Do you have like a... Do you know what you're going to do?
No, I have no clue.
Each break... You're not going to, like, you know, riff with
trivia
the crowd.
Like you do at appearances.
Yeah.
Right.
Do basketball trivia.
Do we have any Bears fans in the house?
Have everybody singing Bear Down.
Do some crowd work with people, you know, ask them where they're from, where they're from out of, how long they've been married.
I know you have a great relationship.
Tell me coming up next, all right? Sell that to me with Stephen A. and everything. I also want to tell you with all the festivities that Dwayne Wade, and there is a really cool party next week that we're involved in, and we want you to be there. We'll tell you about that. Coming up next, and could the Cubs, is this really getting more feasible as every day goes by? Nolan Arenado and the Cubs, all that is next.
Waddle, Sylvie, and Chuck.
I kind of like it.
Welcome back to the show on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Live at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, we've got Charles Barkley coming your way in just about an hour from now.
What do you think Chuck will be wearing today?
I think he's going to wear a button-down and a sport coat.
Really?
I think he'll sport coat it up.
I don't think he will. I'll take that back.
Okay, want to bet?
Yeah.
Okay. At the very least, a really nice button-down shirt.
No, I don't think he's coming in with a tank top and cut-off jean shorts. I don't think Chuck is a sport coat wearing guy, unless he's on television.
And on TV.
Yeah, but you may be right.
There was one time we had him on. There's one famous picture of us when he was really, before he started watching his weight a little bit more, he was wearing just like sweats, I think. I think he came to the station just wearing sweats. That's what most basketball players do, right?
What was he wearing in Cleveland when we spent time with him for the Cubs World Series fun?
I didn't.
You weren't watching?
I didn't notice. I noticed him, and I remember the conversation vividly, and it was the same day. The Cubs game 6 was the same day as the Cleveland Cavaliers were getting their rings.
Yeah.
So Shaq and Charles Barkley were both in the same hotel that we were at.
That's right.
In Cleveland. And I'll never forget, I didn't see him, but we got off the van driving to Cleveland, and the first person Merkin saw was Shaq. Did you get a picture with
Shaq? I think so, yeah. In the hotel that we were staying in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't remember what he was wearing. All right.
That's
so I'm going sport coat button down.
Okay, I'm going to go nice dress shirt and slacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he'll wear slacks, but...
Well, what are slacks? I mean, like khakis or...
Right,
he's not going to be wearing jeans is my point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Hey, here's what we've got going on. So, again, today's like the unofficial start of All-Star Week. So we've got this event. You mentioned First Take. What was your idea that I do it First Take?
I know you
Thursday and Friday. I'm the off-air MC at Navy Pier.
You're the on-site MC. Benny, you have a really good relationship with Benny the Bull. I think you guys should do a two-man show at the breaks,
like on some trampoline.
Well, whatever you feel, however frisky you feel, but. Benny is a true entertainer.
Is Benny scheduled to be on First Take?
I don't know, but I think you should at least see.
Well, that's why I said call him. Yeah, you have a good relationship with him.
At least borrow the head and then steal all of his bits.
What do you mean? Benny's head.
Do like the popcorn trick and all that kind of stuff that
he does. The popcorn trick, he's got a different popcorn trick than Benny.
I don't think that'll fly. Yeah.
I'm just saying if you're looking for – sometimes you're looking for, you know, kind of a straight man for your comedy routine. Benny can't talk or doesn't like to talk very much, so I think with your
relationship...
He's
not a straight man, though. Benny's up. He's got antics.
Well, however you guys want to roll it out, I'm just saying if you're looking for a little help, maybe you should call your good friend Benny the Bull. That's all.
Or maybe I call you.
Do you have any interest? No, I have a doctor's appointment.
All right, so the Dwayne Wade event is next week. I want to tell you about this. ESPN 1000, along with White Claw, one of our great sponsors, has exclusive access to Dwayne Wade Life Unexpected. This is a special screening of his brand new film next Thursday at Joe's on Weed Street. Love those guys at Joe's. Ed, Tommy, those guys, we've had a long relationship with them. The only way to see the sneak peek, now this is the sneak peek, this is the premiere of this new ESPN Films documentary, is to win your way in. Here's what you do to win your way in. Text D Wade, one word, D-W-A-D-E, to 31996. D Wade to 31996. Of course, Chicago native, three-time NBA champion, 13-time NBA All-Star. It's about the life of Dwayne Wade. You could see Life Unexpected before everyone else. The world premiere is Sunday, February 23rd at 8 o'clock on ESPN. But we have this exclusive screening at Joe's on Weed Street next Thursday. It's all brought to you by White Claw.
Very cool. Has D Wade joined Charles's crew at TNT? I think I saw him doing some television work recently.
We could ask Chuck about this. Yeah.
I think they've become teammates, if I'm not mistaken.
We always had a good relationship with D Wade, even though he was a rival, and then he joined the Bulls far too late in his career. But our relationship was always very
wasn't
good.
I've always felt that he was a Bears fan, wasn't he?
Yeah,
wasn't
he's
always
a huge Bears fan. Yeah.
He's doing the sorry, I'm scrolling and trying to find this. He's doing something with them on Saturday night, like part of this Saturday.
For the NBA
night.
Saturday?
Yeah, for NBA, good. For All-Star Saturday night. So he's doing something with them as far as the dunk contest and all that. He's going to be part of the TV coverage of, like, calling the dunks.
Yeah, I think I've seen him on set doing work, too.
Kind of
Yeah.
So, again, that's D Wade to 31996. The baseball stuff, I think, is hottest. We just carried Rick Hahn with the White Sox. The Cubs have a lot of moving parts going on. They're still signing guys, Waddle. Jason Kipnis was signed, or at least agreed upon a deal during the show yesterday. A buy-low guy who could provide a lot for the Cubs. He's still not an old man. He still could provide pop from the left side. He's a good leader. I think something they're looking for, playing in his hometown. And then the Nolan Arenado thing continues to loom. It's complicated. Cap said today on his show that it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. He mentioned that Chatwood and Arenado have talked about playing in Chicago. Passan and Jesse have told us that Arenado would certainly waive his no-trade clause to play in Chicago. The general manager of Colorado spoke yesterday. When questions came up about Arenado and his happiness and where he fits here, the general manager would not even talk about it.
My question is what, I mean, why would they be interested in Chris Bryant if the Cubs can't trade Chris Bryant for prospects that are trying to replenish their minor league system? If the Cubs have had, you have to believe that teams recognize that this arbitration process had to be completed, but I think most people believed at a very high majority that it was going to go in the direction of the Cubs were going to win this arbitration, and he was going to still have 2 years left before he was going to become a total free agent. My question is what does Chris Bryant bring you back if that's exactly what – that would be my assumption, isn't it? Isn't that what the Colorado Rockies would want if you made that trade, was to spin Chris Bryant into –
Right, I would think. And now, remember, Arenado could opt out here in 2 years. That's the other thing. So they're both basically on two-year deals.
Right.
Arenado, like in a lot of these NBA players now, sort of the player holds the power. So now you have a player who's unhappy, ripped the general manager, doesn't want to be there anymore, and they're committed to a lot of money to him. They could get out of the money and get a guy who won't cost them as much in the immediate future, who they could spin off for prospects. And Arenado's got the no-trade clause where he could dictate the only places he wants to go. So if Colorado wants to say, hey, we want to trade you to this team because we can get the best haul back, Arenado could say, I'm not waiving my no-trade clause right. to go to that team. It's, with Chris Bryan, they can control more. And Cap said they would maybe have to throw in a prospect as well. The Cubs would. And, some, and Colorado would have to eat some money on Arenado's deal. But it's very complicated. It's still tough to pull off. But it sounds like this thing is getting less and less unlikely as the days go by.
Well, yes. I mean, this is going to be a difficult trade to consummate, for sure. But if I was a Cub fan, I'd be all in favor of it, to be honest with you. I've always had an infatuation from a baseball perspective. And Nolan Arenado, and I understand the splits and the concerns that a lot of what he's been able to produce has been in Colorado, a hitter-friendly environment. But the contract is certainly more acceptable than the one that Chris Bryant would be looking for on a prorated basis once he reaches free agency. He's a better defensive player than Chris Bryant. I don't think you lose anything if you're the Cubs. In fact, I think this is a trade that unless you'd have to give up something else significant, I don't know why this would be a trade that Cub fans wouldn't want.
I've compared this to another NBA story. I want to bring you that coming up next. Cubs fans, would you be in favor of this? Do you think it's possible? Nolan Arenado wants out. He hates it there now. After agreeing on a deal after 1 year, he feels betrayed. The general manager wouldn't even talk about him when he met the media yesterday, and he would waive the no-trade clause here. 312-332-3776. Is it that easy to just say goodbye to Chris Bryant because I mentioned two words, Nolan Arenado? That's coming up as we're live at Chicago Cut. Charles Barkley joins us in about an hour.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie, live from Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River in downtown Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We're live at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. This place usually has a hustle and bustle to it, and it will shortly, but the restaurant is completely closed because we've got Charles Barkley coming your way here from 4 to 6. Gonna have a great crowd there. They've closed the restaurant down for this great event. We did that a couple of years ago with Javi Baez. It's all brought to you by our friends at First Midwest Bank. They're a presenting sponsor. Thank you to Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Thank you to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers.
And listen, if you have a hockey question for me and you need something broken down, give us a holler as well. Because as one of our fine tweeters sent,
We should do that. Can we do that at 3? Like ask Tommy Hawk?
Sure.
And it could be any hockey question.
I think I inadvertently walked into something that makes a ton of sense. Put the nut in the net. I mean, that nobody says that in the NHL world, do they?
I don't know if you're allowed to.
Yeah, you can. I mean, the puck is the nut. Put the nut in the net. How can you not put the nut in the net, right, JR?
But people call it a biscuit.
Right, it's a biscuit. Why can't I call it a nut? Put the nut in the net.
I'm going to make sure this is not Urban Dictionary real quick.
But you guys, that is true. You're right about
it. Even if it is, it's all about intent.
Good idea, Abdallah.
It's all about intent. Just because you hang out with a bunch of people that talk dirty all the time and everything they say is an Urban Dictionary doesn't mean that there's an alternate definition for other things. The puck is a nut. The net is the destination for said nut. Put the nut in the net. And the Blackhawks didn't do it well enough last night.
You're good.
Thank you.
Nothing yet. Someone get that into
Shower
Urban
Hawk?
Dictionary about getting the puck in the net, the nut in the net.
You're already in there once.
Yeah.
I am. Urban Dictionary.
Twice, I thought.
No,
I thought you have
once.
Snow luggage and Shower Hawk.
That's just people say that the Urban Dictionary definition for that second thing you said is not really family friendly, but it was, like I said, it was something that we used to say 30, 40 years
ago. Shower hawk for you guys when you were at Boston College is when everyone would be ready to go out at night.
Yes.
You guys would all shower at the same time.
Freshman year, the guys, the real guys, the cool crew, all lived in the first floor
of CLX.
Yeah. So, and there was
shower hawk.
Nobody had
the cool crew.
Nobody had nobody had their own shower in their room. It was like a community shower. So there was like six shower stalls. They were individual shower stalls, but there were shower stalls.
So you were by yourself.
The late Peter Gray would always had the boom box. I was responsible for the beer. I don't know why, but I was always willing to deliver.
You don't know why. I know why.
And then,
because wherever there was a party, Tommy was there.
That's probably
a
pretty
shirts.
Good description.
We need Waddle and Sylvie shirts.
So
I'm picturing them in
listen.
My head. There's a it's a hawk in a shower, but like an angry hawk gripping a
listen,
beer.
This is what happens.
Waddle and Sylvie.
You're watching Miami Vice. Okay. Or whatever the show is, show's over, it's shower time, you got to get ready quickly, grab a few beers, put some Led Zeppelin on the boom box, we're in Cleveland Circle in less than 45 minutes. Shower hawk, boom, everyone showered at the same time, get ready, go. I mean, it was really simple.
And then there's an alternative definition in
which
urban,
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Right, right.
Something to do with jail, right?
Yeah,
something to do with jail?
Yeah, and it's very dirty.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, no.
So, the Arenado stuff. This is, I think I've brought this up to you once before, several weeks ago. There are certain teams in the NBA who I look to and I say, they make their own luck. It seems like a lot of times, how does this team always, know to get the next guy? Like the Lakers. You know, first, obviously, there were the Jerry West Lakers. Then all of a sudden, they luck into Magic Johnson. They had a coin flip. They get Magic Johnson. Next thing you know, they're winning multiple championships. Then that Magic era ends, and they have sort of the little bit of a downturn. But it's not too long, because the next thing you know, they find a way to get Kobe, who was like drafted 13th or 14th. And then they trade for Shaq. Right? Or Shaq signs, whatever it is, you get Shaq.
And then they're directed by good management. So like a guy like Jerry West knows to trade.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah, trade for Kobe and then develop.
Yeah, well, let me get there. And then Shaq leaves and there's a big falling out with Kobe. And then so then they find a way to get another guy and other guys who pair up well with Kobe. Pau Gasol, boom, next thing you know, he's there. They're winning two more titles without Shaq. You know, now they try to rebuild. It's not going well. Who falls in their lap? Who are they able to recruit? They recruit LeBron. Okay, well, the first year LeBron doesn't go well. What happens? They find a way to get Anthony Davis there. Now they're in a position to win a title. The point is, it takes a little luck, but it takes good management. And this could be the right place at the right time that the Cubs, like a lot of these good NBA teams, unlike our Bulls team, who make their own luck when times are down. So just when you think the Cubs are at a crossroads, just when you think there's no chance of Chris Bryant signing a long-term extension, just when you think they've got to shed money and they can't compete this year, oh my gosh, there's a guy who may be better than Chris Bryant, who just so happens to be on the trade market, who is demanding a trade and would only accept a trade to a couple of spots. And do you know where he really wants to play? The Cubs. And then you have good management to make it work. The point of this, Waddle, is this is the perfect opportunity for the Cubs to pounce. This is it. I mean, like, how can you paint a better scenario? Your MVP, the guy who you thought would be here forever, who now feels slighted because you're not offering what he wants. You have questions about him because he's been a little injured and he hasn't been the stud that he was in 16 and 17. There are questions both ways. And oh my gosh, there's a 27, 28-year-old third baseman who's a gold glove winner and a stud with a bat who wants to play for you. How often does that happen?
Not often. You may have to throw Wilson Contreras in the mix because...
Well, no. I'm not doing... Well, you're telling me Chris Bryant and Wilson Contreras?
Well, why would... If you can't get anything for Chris Bryant as you're the Cubs, why will the Colorado Rockies find better success trying to flip him? And the longer you keep him, the less you're going to get for him.
Well, again, I don't know what the Cubs are able to get for Chris Bryant. They may not have made the deal because they don't like what they hear. They want more. It could be just the art of a deal. But if you're Colorado, how much leverage do you hold? You have a guy who has committed a lot of money, you've committed to, a lot of money to, who no longer wants to play for you.
But you're still, if you're the Cubs, if you're trying to get under the salary threshold, you're still going to have to shed salary because he actually makes more than Chris Bryant. And Chris Bryant's number is what most people are saying they have to get rid of.
Right.
So before the end of the season, you're still going to have to maybe pair your payroll to accomplish the goal that has been enunciated. So I'm with you. Listen, as
but
I told
will,
you.
It will not take, I guarantee you, the Cubs would laugh at a Chris Bryant and Wilson Contreras deal. That's a hang up.
Well, they may not.
This is a guy who, again, is demanding a trade. He can approve a trade to anywhere. He has no trade clause, and he doesn't want to play for you anymore. You can't be demanding, if you're the Rockies at this point now, the Cubs are in the perfect situation to make this happen.
Maybe they find somebody that can give them more prospects because the Cubs can't offer you prospects. Maybe they don't want Chris Bryant.
Well, they can, but I mean...
Well, they're not prospects that you want.
Well, I mean, they do. The Cubs have prospects. They're just not the top 10 prospects.
Well, if you're trading Nolan Arenado, a consensus all-star year in and year out, aren't you looking for...
Yeah, you're looking for top 50
You're probably
prospects.
Looking at more than what the Cubs have in their farm system.
Well, if you trade them Chris Bryant and a prospect, it's a good question. 312-332-3776. Charles Barkley is going to join us in the next hour. We're live at Chicago Cut.